Hello and welcome to Tantas Talk, the world's only English language program focusing primarily on Hungarian folk music. I'm Kálmán Magyar Öcsi, speaking as always from Toronto, Canada. Episodes of Tantas Talk, which combine a mix of music and stories delivered by yours truly, are available as always on tantas.com. That's TANCHAZ.com or on YouTube. Just search Tantas Talk and subscribe so you don't miss anything. Today we have an episode of Tantas Talk Interviews. This is where I delve into long-form interviews with a wide array of guests, and episodes of Tantas Talk Interviews are available on all popular podcast platforms, including Google, Apple, Spotify, podcast stores. So make sure you subscribe and leave a nice review if you like what you hear. Today I'm excited to have on the program Péter Arendás, Professor Arendás, joining us from Budapest. I have to tell you that when I came up with the concept for the interview series of Tantas Talk, Péter, or Peti as I call him, was like one of the prototypical guest that I wanted on. Somebody from Hungary, someone with very, very deep knowledge of what we are talking about on this show generally, always, and someone who speaks English quite well. So before we speak with him, and I'm really excited to have him on the program, let me give you some bio background for him. Péter was born in 1969 in Dorog, Hungary, which is not too far from Esztergom, northwest of Budapest. He attended the Teachers Training College of Eötvös Loránd University, that's ELTE. He received a diploma in singing, music, and choir conducting. He has a teacher's degree from Liszt Ferenc Academy of Music with honors. And in 2018, this is the big one, folks, he received a musical performance degree from the Liszt Academy, summa cum laude. That's a big deal. He is a doctor of liberal arts, DLA, which is kind of like a PhD, quite similar. He has taught music very extensively at too many places to mention, really, but here are the notables. He taught musicology, music history, and folk music at ELTE, at the Bratislava faculty of the Hungarian Dance Academy. And of course, once again, the biggie here, he is a lecturer and program leader at the Folk Strings Department of Liszt Ferenc Academy of Music. And at Liszt, he's an associate professor, and he focuses on the folk viola, which is the main subject, otherwise known as the contra or the braccio. Folk string chamber music and repertoire studies. Aside from his academic pursuits, Peti was first known and is still very well known as an outstanding musician. In 1986, he founded the Tükrös Folk Music Ensemble, which has published no less than 7 albums since its establishment. They're household names in Hungary, Australia, Canada, US, and beyond. And their album, Ar Mezőség, won the Phonogram Award for Best Authentic Hungarian Folk Music Album in 2010. From 1993 to 2012, he was a member of the Budapest Dance Ensemble Orchestra, which later was merged into the Honvéd Dance Theater. His music can be heard on some of the most well-known folk dance productions of that ensemble. Of course, Tango of the East immediately comes to mind, Csárdás Tango of the East. He's also a member of the Gázsa Band, of course, as well as Tükrös, as I mentioned before. He has issued publications about a wide array of folk music materials, including about the music of Boncida, Vajdaszentivány, Kalotaszeg, Magyar Palotka, Szék, you name it. Peti has written about it He gives lectures. He regularly gives lectures at courses offered by the Hungarian Heritage House. That's the Hagyományok Háza. He lectured recently at the Fono a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week as well. He is a regular jury member at national folk music and folk dance competitions. He's a member of the board granting the Master of Folk Art and the Martin György Prize State Awards. And he's a curator of the Halmos Béla College in the National Cultural Fund of Hungary. Oh, wow, what a bio. 2000, Gold Certificate of the Hungarian Academy of Arts. 2001, Young Master of Folk Art. 2012, Silver Cross of Merit from Hungary. 2018, Folk Dance House Prize, Táncház Prize. Other activities he's been involved in, he was a staff member of the Utolsó Óra, the last hour folk music collecting program at Fono, which we talk about here once in a while. He is a regular contributor and author at Folk Magazine. He's hosted a show on Bartók Radio in Budapest titled Folk Music from Home. And since 1998, he's been musical director of the Táncház Találkozó and all their related recordings CD series. I must also mention that he's provided wonderful liner notes for Gyonta's CD many years ago, and he's an old friend. And I will say he has a very, very powerful impact on many musicians here, especially the contra players, from Garda Levy and Alex Carpiza in Winnipeg and George Petran in Washington and many others. He's taught a lot, and he's very, very influential here in our North American Táncház movement. He's married to Barbie Baranyai, Barbie, who's a legend in folk dance circles, and father of three. Kata and Anna are from his previous marriage, his first wife, who unfortunately passed away many years ago. And the recently arrived Julchika, who I assume Barbie will have full control of during this interview. She's probably asleep at this point. So I am so happy to welcome, calling in from Budapest, Professor Péter Árendás. Hello, Peti.
Hello, hi, Kálmán. Welcome, everyone. You've told everything about me. So
yes, we're out of time, and thanks for tuning in today.
I'm so happy here for listening to you, for hearing your voice. Good.
My pleasure. It's been a long time, of course. With COVID, things have really, really gone sideways, I'm sure. And we'll talk some more about that for sure as well. Peti, I know you quite well, but one thing I wanted to ask you about as we start the interview is whether you are a first-generation musician in your family, or tell me a bit about your parents and how you got into this whole folk music or music in general.
Well, I'm a first-generation musician in my family. It means my parents, they couldn't play music. My mother was a teacher in a prison. My father worked in a ministry in Hungary, but they loved music. So when I was a little child, mostly from my father, I got many kind of music. It was mostly pop music, so not classical or not folk music, but he loved it. My father's father was a teacher too, but he was an amateur cantor. Mm-hmm. So in the church,
yes,
cantor. So they had a huge piano in the house, and when I was 4 or 5 or 6, and we went to meet my grandparents, my grandfather played the piano. Mm-hmm. So he could play very well. So that's the only one person in my family who played some instrument. But so the music was around me. Mm-hmm. And I, when I was a small child, I loved singing. Mm-hmm. And I had a good voice. So when I was 6 or 7, and I started the school, the primary school, they asked me, if you want to teach music, it's okay. And I decided, okay, I was six or seven, okay, I want to play the piano. So that was my start.
So you started playing piano, folk music was completely not on your radar at all, right?
Yeah, yes, yes. So folk music was much later in my life. So I started to play the piano and I loved it. So it means I wasn't that student had to play 1 hour a week and I hated it. No, I loved it. So in the first months we had no piano at home, certainly, but I tried play it at school, and about 6 months later my parents decided, he wants to play, and they bought a piano for me. Mm-hmm. And it's my piano from now, from there until now. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. So every day I played the piano, and that's why in a few years later I had the chance to learn the piano more in more lessons. Mm-hmm. It means I was not an A category, I was in B category. It's a talented category. Mm-hmm. And I learned classical music in the piano, but everything I've heard in the TV, in the movie, in the radio, I tried to play on the piano. And my piano teacher, she told me, okay, if you are so interested in the piano, in the music, okay, let's continue the classical music, but you should start jazz piano. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I started jazz piano, but I was about 14, in 15 when I played the classical piano and the jazz piano, and in that time folk music found me. Because when I went to the secondary grammar school, it was especially folk dance and folk music class. Mm-hmm. And I was there. I went there not because of the folk music or folk dance, but because we could learn English, and It was much. It's quite important for me. Okay, they said in the first 2 years, you should choose folk dance or folk music. Well, and I was a musician, so okay, let's start folk music, not folk dance. It's quite tiring, and folk music, it would be good.
Yeah,
it will be good for me. I'm not so interested in folk music, but okay, let's try. What kind of instrument would you like? Well, I play the piano. Okay, let's try the hurdy-gurdy.
Oh.
Do you know what hurdy-gurdy is?
Yeah, the tekeru, the hurdy-gurdy, yes.
Yeah, the tekeru, yeah, hurdy-gurdy.
Wow.
Because they have almost the same like on the piano.
Yes.
And it was quite easy for me to play on a melody on hurdy-gurdy.
Uh-huh.
I knew the sounds, I knew the bilentu.
Yeah, the keyboard. The keyboard is the layout, the same
keyboard,
layout as
it's almost the
piano.
Yeah, it's almost the same. It was very similar.
Yeah.
And but I didn't know the folk tunes. And I thought that folk music, it means playing hurdy-gurdy. It wasn't so enjoyable.
Yes.
But okay. But in a year later, it was at the Ubudoi school.
Yeah.
It was the first folk music school in Hungary and in Budapest. Ubudoi Folk Music School.
Yeah.
And the teachers were the Muzsikás and Téka, the members of the Muzsikás and Téka ensembles.
Hmm.
For example, Csóri Sándor, for example, Lányi György, the contra player, Havas Ritipál, the bögő, and the hurdy-gurdy player. And they saw, okay, this guy is not so interested in folk music, but okay, let's go to a dance house. Tanzhaus. Hmm. What's Tanzhaus? It was in 1984. Jeez. What is Tanzhaus? Okay, just come with me, we will play, and you can listen to folk music. Mm. Okay. And that it was a Friday evening, and that was the first time I heard string folk music.
Mm.
And I loved, so I fall in love with Sikhi music. Oh, it's very good. It's not just hurdy-gurdy and the same sound, but there are chords, so there are different melodies. Mm-hmm. And on the piano, I loved to find out what kind of chords are in a melody in a Queen or a Rolling Stones or a Beatles song. So I always thinking about the chords.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Sikhi music, and there's a violin. Okay, I cannot play violin, but there's a contra, a viola,
mm-hmm.
playing chords. Oh, what kind of chords is so interesting? And that was the moment when I decided to play the folk music and play the contra, so the viola.
Who was the band at that time in 84? So you went to see like the Muzsikás or Teka, Tanca, something like that at that time?
Yeah. In Budapest, in that time, every Tuesday was the Muzsikás Tánchház at FMH.
Yeah.
It was in the 11th suburb, Fővárosi Művelődési Ház. Every Friday, that was the most popular Tánchház in Budapest at Almási tér. That was the Téka Ensemble's Tánchház. And on a Saturday, it was a Molnár utca with the Kalamajka.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, it was a Somogyi Béla utca with the Méta.
Mm-hmm.
So there were the most important Tánchház evening, Tánchházes in Budapest in that time. And from that moment, I went all the Tánchházes and I made recordings with Téka and with Muzsikás and with other bands, because I wanted to learn everything about the folk music.
Mm-hmm.
But my teachers or my friends, Havasi, Tipoli, or Gyuri, or Sanyi, they told me, oh, well, it's okay, but it's not the best way. You should listen to original recordings.
Right.
What does it mean, original recordings?
Uh-huh.
Well, there are recordings recorded by a folk music collector, and they on these recordings, old the village gypsy musicians playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I got a few of these recordings, and then I decided, okay, we have to go to the villages and meet these old gypsy musicians, because they are the masters. And I started to collect the original recordings, not just what I made, but from the archive collections.
Mm-hmm. Petty, the you mentioned a few teachers you had at Obuda, a few of these bands. At that time, do you remember? And these are all your friends now. Of course, these guys. But is there one contra player that really stuck out to you as that's kind of my role model or my mentor? That's the kind of contra player I want to become.
Do you mean Tánchház musicians?
Yes, like of the teachers you had.
Yeah, the persons who I told, Csóri Sanyi. I think he was the number one at that time.
Uh-huh.
And because he is a very good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think almost all the folk musicians who started to play, to learn the contra or string folk music, string instrument, Sanyi was the mentor of almost of all.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. And I'm so lucky that every week I went to Obudai folk music school, and we had 1 hour, 2 hours, and then I asked. I listened to music and okay, how is it? What is it? And I went next week to meet Sanyi. Okay, Sanyi, would you please show me? It is a kalotaszeki legényes, and how can you do it? Or what can you? What do you do? So Tuli Shani was the first one, and Lani Yuri, the contra player of Deka Ensemble, was the other teacher of my contra.
Well, I didn't mention this in your introduction, but you are actually left-handed, so you play the other way. I know you play the right way, and we all play the wrong way, but how did that come about? That's interesting, because you didn't play violin before. You just, you know, are you naturally a lefty? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, because I was a musician, so I knew the sounds. I knew what kind of sounds are in C major, for example. When the first time I got a contra in my hand, what is it? An A sound, a G sound, a D sound? Okay, let's find a C major, for example. So I got the contra in my hand. It was not mine. It was another's. And I tried it, and someone, I don't remember exactly who was the person, someone said, okay, you change it. Why? Because the contra is in you should keep on the other hand, and the bow is in the other hand. And I tried that way, and it was so uncomfortable.
Interesting.
And I didn't play violin before. But I tried it, and it's much more comfortable this way. Mm-hmm. Are you left-handed? Yes, I'm absolutely left-handed. I write with my left hand, so absolutely. Okay, it's no problem. Mm-hmm. No problem. No, in folk music, there are many, many left-handed folk musicians in the village, gypsy musicians. But in the dance house musicians, I think I was the first.
Yeah.
When I started to play with my left hand. Mm-hmm. And nowadays I have friends, and I have colleagues, and I have students who are left-handed. So it's not so interesting. But in that time it was so interesting.
Right.
I looked at my in a mirror. It's okay.
Yeah, it looks normal. But, yeah.
So I didn't realize that I'm not okay. But it was just, you know, so one day,
yeah.
And then everybody said, okay, if you're left-handed, okay, do this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that your experience of having a, you know, sounds like about a, you know, 9, 10 year musical background that did not involve Hungarian folk music, does that, and so you as a somewhat developed musician, as a mid-teenager, knowing theory already at that time, you that's when you started picking up Hungarian folk music. Does that enable you to now teach it a little differently? Because for me, for instance, and many of your colleagues, they grew up with this music since they were in their mother's wombs, you know, but you did not. So you came at it in a kind of midlife, so to speak. I know you were still a teenager, but does that impact the way you're able to share the material and unpack the material to students, you think?
Well, it was a very different world in the middle of 80s. When I met the original Hungarian, I decided, okay, I need it. There were no books,
yes.
Just recordings, and there were the musicians, the folk, the dance house musicians, and then the village musicians. So, how learn it?
Hold on, Peter. We're having some Wi-Fi issues. You there? Sorry, can you back up a little? I hear you, we had a little Wi-Fi issue. So you said that there were no books.
Books, yeah. No Wi-Fi, no.
Yeah.
We have cassettes.
Cassettes.
So when I went to dance house, and I met other young musicians. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you play folk music? Yes. Oh, I want to play too. Do you have some recordings? Yes, I have two cassettes. One cassette is 60 minutes, so I have two cassettes with folk music. Oh, can I make a copy of this? Okay, you should come to my flat and okay, we copy it. And I had two cassettes. Oh, I listened to these two cassettes all day. Mm-hmm. And then next week or 3 weeks later, from another young musician, I got two more cassettes. Mm-hmm. Then I knew, so it was 1 or 2 years later when I heard about Népművelési Intézet. It's the Korvintér where the Hungarian Heritage House is now. There was a Szakmai Ház. It means. There was
cultural education.
Three rooms mm-hmm. where musicians and dancers there were, and if someone was interested in folk music, they made copies of original recordings.
Okay.
So I bought lots of tapes, yeah. And went there. Okay, please, I need all the music. Mm-hmm. And they were laughing. All the music? There are much more 100 hours. Wow, really? Okay, give me. And I listened to the tapes and listened to the cassettes. Mm-hmm. So it was a very, very different way, and looked at each other. So I went to Tanzhaus not just enjoying and having fun and drinking and dancing, but all the time I listened to the other musicians. Okay, what do they do? How do they do? Okay, what kind of music? It's CKFD music. Okay, what kind of melodies? That's why I made recordings of these Tanzhaus musicians. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to Transylvania, it was the first time when I went there. It was in 1986, I think, mm-hmm. with Havasréti Tipoli. And we spent 1 week in Kolotaszeg and Mezőség, and we were in Magyarbece. Well, it was right like a brainwashing.
Yes.
So absolutely. When I came back from Transylvania, so it was an absolutely different world. Different mm-hmm. people. It was in Ceausescu era, mm-hmm. so it was quite dangerous. But we could meet the old gypsy musicians, and they were and listen to not just the music, but their speech and their how they think. So it was. I think it was very important.
There's a, you know, back for your generation. We're in the same generation, but there was a very, at that time, I think, very ad hoc self-exploration. Almost you learned whatever, how you, the amount you learned pretty much corresponded to the amount of questions you asked, how pushy you were, how eager you were to extract information from different people. Now we have this unbelievable body of work and literature and educational schools, certified teachers, etc. A big part of this is the Liszt Academy folk department. Can you talk a bit about how that formed, when, what was the reasoning behind it? And you know, we'll go from there. I do have we do talk about the Liszt Academy several times on this program. We've had Salomon Shomo, for instance, was a guest, one of my first guests on the show. You know, but I wanted to know more about the background, and this is an unbelievable cultural institution, a classical world class classical music school, and now it's got the folk department. Let's talk about that a bit.
Okay. Well, it's quite strange. Hungary is the country of Bartók Béla and Kodály Zoltán. And in their life, they talked about folk music and folk music and folk music. And there was no opportunity to learn folk music in Hungary in the Liszt Academy until 2007. Mm-hmm. In 2007, the Tanzhaus movement was 35 years old, isn't it?
Well, yes, because 1972.
We started in 1972.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm still doing the math.
Lots of musicians, yeah. lots of courses, lots of summer camps, mm-hmm. but there was no university where you can learn Hungarian folk music. So I think why we could start teaching folk music in Liszt Academy is because we had 35 years before. Mm. And those musicians, those bands from Halmos Béla to Muzsikás to Téka and so on, and many summer camps and many courses, they were so important for that to go to the Liszt Academy and to tell the rector and to tell the classical teachers that Hungarian folk music is a high level. So in the country of Bartók and Kodály, it's necessary to teach Hungarian folk music in Liszt Academy. And they said, okay, you are right. So we start. The problem was that most of the teachers who are very good folk musicians, but they had no diploma of a folk musician, of a musician, mm-hmm. because there was no. Except me, I had a classical music teacher diploma,
right?
Not a folk music because there was no in university.
Yes,
but the first years was very special because those musicians who taught the best musicians mm-hmm. had no diploma as a music teacher.
Why is it important to have why was it important to have a diploma if you're going to teach folk music?
Not folk music. There's just one way if you want to teach in a university, in a music university, you have to have a music teacher diploma.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. So in 2007, at the very beginning, you were already involved as part of...
few of us.
Okay. Who had,
for example, Pavo István.
Right.
He's a fantastic folk music collector, ethnomusicologist. Mm-hmm. He had a music diploma, for example.
Okay.
Or Richter Pál, who is the head of the folk music department. He was a doctor and he had a high level diploma. Mm-hmm. But for example, Juha Zoltán, I think one of the best flute player in Hungary. Mm-hmm. He is not a musician. He had another diploma, not a music teacher diploma. Hmm. Okay, just one more thing. So when I start playing folk music, I had I could go to meet with old village musicians, and unfortunately they passed away.
Yes.
Their children or grandchildren, they didn't continue this tradition. Mm-hmm. So I was so lucky, I could ask from Csóri Sanyi, from Lányi Júrió, from Halmos Béla. So I'm not the first generation folk musician, I'm the second. But in the 1980s, there are many folk musicians in villages, and I could meet them. Mm-hmm. But after 2000, just a few musicians, old traditional musicians, could be alive. So now, if you want to learn folk music, you should learn from those people who could learn from village, from the originals. Do you understand?
Well, I do understand, although you know, I'm fast forwarding 50, 60 years, you know, when COVID is over. Just kidding.
Yeah.
That's going to be, forget that. That's gone. Like, we're all gone. Your generation, second generation's gone. So then that excuse or that incentive, hey, come learn from me because I learned from Tzili Koduri, you know, or whatever it is. Instead, I think, and I'm trying, you know, what I'm getting at is the methodology key, is what you guys are teaching, at least, is it important for musicians and for teachers to be exposed to that and to get their degrees mm-hmm. so they understand how to teach, or is it the material that's important to learn?
Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays we have lots of books. We have lots of notes of folk music. There's internet, so now it's very easy to find some original recording, sound recording or video recording. I think it's very important to listen to them, to watch these videos. So we don't teach from books, from notes. It can help if you listen to the recording and you don't understand exactly what kind of chord or what kind of note musicians play. Mm-hmm. You can look at the book, but it's not instead of the recordings.
Mm-hmm. So you.
So now when we teach this music, mm-hmm. Explained my students, both are important. You have to know the books. You have to read a lot. You have to know the notes, but you have to watch the videos and listen to recordings. And if there is some musician or the last one in Kolotoszeg or the last one in Mezőség in Transylvania, you should meet him and ask him and play with him together.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's so interesting, you know, teaching this. It's a live, it's a live thing still in the villages. But that's, you know, again, I'm fast forwarding what will, you know, my grandchildren, if they want to teach or learn at least, you know, how is that going to go? I figure you're sitting there, Peti, with a laptop or whatever, or a computer, and you guys are with your students, you're watching videos and analyzing and then they're trying to determine what's going on. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's right. And I teach the chamber music of the string instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is very important because the violinists learning the melodies, the contra players learning the chords and the rhythm, and the bass players learn the rhythm. But we have to rehearse together. And there are many, many small things, but which there are no in the books or in the notes. But we have to practice, and I'm there to help them. Okay, be careful of this rhythm; is not the perfect. They're very, very so. There are small asymmetric rhythms mm-hmm. in the Hungarian folk music. So the chamber music, how we work, is very important because in Hungarian folk music, a bass player or a contra player alone is nothing. So just in a band,
right?
How we can work.
This is a 4-year for the undergraduate. It's a 4-year or 3 or 4 year program. Six semesters?
No, six years.
6 years or semesters?
Six years. So it's 12 semesters. Whoa. It means 10 semesters are lessons directly, so mm-hmm. contact lessons, and the last two semesters are just practicing, learning in a school, and writing the book and so on. So in the last two semesters, there are no contact lessons.
Okay.
Just for 10 semesters.
Is it tough to get into? I know the list, like the classical school, is very competitive, and there's a very pretty much a high rejection rate, I presume, for a lot of instruments. But what's going on in the folk? How's the interest?
Well, it's mostly similar in classical music, because we got a music teacher diploma. So it's very important to become not just a good musician, but a good teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's why they have special subjects of teaching, so mm-hmm. about the teaching. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you know, their concert teachers are not. So in Hungary, we don't need hundreds of concert teachers, but we need hundreds of folk sing teachers, or, mm-hmm. for example, zither, mm-hmm. or flute, furuja. They are quite popular, and there are many. Cultural primary schools in Hungary and in the whole Carpathian Basin where good teachers are needed.
I have a silly question. Maybe it's a silly question, but I'll ask it from my profession as a lawyer. I know that there are book smart lawyers, and then there are, you know, street smart, or, you know, on their feet smart lawyers, right? So this question. I because you are an outstanding academic and you are an outstanding performer and musician, so performing musician, but not everybody's like that. Do you deal with students who are book smart, but, you know, put them in the front of a crowd or they wilt away and they disappear, their character's gone, you know, or the other way, they're fabulous musicians, you know, you'd want to dance to them and at a Tanzhaus for sure, and you want to jam with them, but forget it in terms of cracking a book open and you know, trying to study or something. Do you deal with those kinds of difficulties?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the first year, I talk to them a lot, and I try to explain, it's your decision. If you want to be a good Tanzhaus musician, that's okay. If you want to be a good folk music teacher, that's okay. If you want to be a book writer or write the notes in an archive department, it's okay. And I look at them for years, and there are young students who they are very happy on a stage as a musician. Okay, you will be a concert music player, mm-hmm. A musician. Someone hates the stage,
right?
And just love playing in a smoky pub. Okay, you are a Tanzhaus musician.
Yeah.
Someone is not a very good music player, but very clever and can write lots of notes. Okay, you will be a very good writer, for example. I think all of these are very important for us. The folk music movement, but the Tanzhaus movement, we need all these people. Mm-hmm. Because now it's a huge, like a huge building, and we need all the bricks in a building.
Bricks. Yeah, bricks. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to find what kind of bricks you will take to mm-hmm. this building.
Yes. And I suppose it's the same thing with all professions, and you know, some in law school, of course,
yeah.
People make that decision as well afterwards. Who was the first violinist that, like, you played with that was full time? I'm gonna guess it was with Halmos Attila, and that's with Form Tükrös, but I'm not sure. What was your first kind of band setup?
Yeah, you are right. You are right. Okay. When I went Táncház the first time, when Havasréti Pali told me, okay, Friday evening, let's go to Táncház. And I went there. I knew nobody. But there was a young boy, young blonde-haired boy, and he played the whole evening with the old musicians. And he knew all the melodies. Oh, who is this? He knew all the musicians. He knew all the melodies. He was not shy. I was shy. I was sitting on a chair and looked around. He was not shy. He played and drank a beer. But he was 15 as me. Mm-hmm. It was Halmos Attila. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Táncház to Almási tér twice or a third time, okay, I went there and introduced. Okay, hi, I'm Peter. I started to play the contra. Okay, hi, I'm Attila. Okay, and we became friends. Mm-hmm. And in a few months later, we decided, okay, let's found a band. But we were absolutely beginners, mostly me. I was absolutely beginner. Okay, let's found a band. Mm-hmm. Okay, our name we call. Okay, let's be Bükrös. Okay, we were 17, mm-hmm. and from that time we met every weekend in Óbudai school. There were no lessons on weekends, so the whole school was empty. We got the key of the school, and we went there Saturday morning, and we practiced. Attila brought some cassettes. Okay, listen to it. Okay, try to do it. And we practiced a lot. So in the first year, just we two, the two Tükrös, two members, Attila and me.
Right.
And we practiced a lot, and then Langer Zoli, a bass player, joined us, mm-hmm. and Liber Bandi, contra player, then a later timbalom player, joined us. It was the first Tükrös group. Then Langer Zoli, a bass player, he went, so he stopped playing mm-hmm. in that time, and then we invited Lelkes Andris. And Konz Gergő, he is 5 or 6 years younger than us, mm-hmm. and we knew him, and we called him to play with us, and so that was the one. And then we had a singer, Korpás Évi, mm-hmm. from Slovakia.
Yeah.
So that was. There are the Tükrös members, mm-hmm. The old members, and the members of nowadays.
I thought it was.
Attila was my number one.
You say he's there. In English, we say he's my first.
Okay.
I'm just kidding, and I thought you know, there's a mathematical formula. Do you know Ökrös plus Bürkös equals Tükrös? Did you know that? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So
all these groups founded later. Because Ökrös, Ökrös Csabi was older than us.
Yes.
But in that time, he had a új stílus group.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And Ökrös band founded 1 or 2 years later.
Right.
The Bürkös is much more younger.
They're babies, yeah. The Tükrös band has a very unique sound and I would say a very unique philosophy. The how you guys adhere and stick to the original source material is really unbelievable and really, really striking. Can you talk a little bit about that philosophy? And do you agree with me that it might very well be really the only one in the last 30 years that I can remember, that's sticking to that in a way, to that philosophy.
Uh-huh. When we start playing together, we had no philosophy. So we were young. Okay, play. But in that time, when you start playing folk music, there was just one way. It means you have to try to play as the same way like the village musicians are playing. Mm-hmm. There was no world music in that time. Mm-hmm. So we decided we will play the traditional folk music in authentic way. Nowadays, there are different folk musicians. There are the world musicians on the stage. They cannot play in a dance house, just thinking and arrange folk music and make CDs
and make money
concerts on the stage.
Yeah.
There is another way nowadays if you want to be a dance house musicians, mm-hmm. A musician. So we decided we don't want to arrange, we don't want to change the instruments or change the chords or change the rhythms, because what we heard in the village, what we hear on the original recordings, it's perfect for us. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. So our goal is to learn as much more as it's possible, and not arrange.
Right.
The folk melody is not a material, but okay, I use and give some guitar and some drum and some special chords of this. No, what we listen to the village bands with that type of bass playing and of contra playing and of violin playing, it's perfect music for us, and we would like to play that way and to learn that way.
I want to drill down a little on that, Peti, because you're suggesting like there's like the world music on so. On one end of the spectrum, there's the village, as recorded, pure form. And then on the other spectrum, end of the spectrum, you're talking about world musicians, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is Tükrös is as close to the authentic spectrum as possible, but you don't get to the world music end of the spectrum before going through most every band, including my own band, for instance, but from some amazing, folk bands, like let's say Duve or maybe even Üstüdü, etc. I'm saying Tükrös will replicate with a little more advanced level of musicianship, but replicate exactly the way the source material is. That to me is unique.
Thank you. Thank you, Echi. Thank you very much. I think it's very important. So it's not just a musical music material, but it's very important to know how these musicians were thinking, mm-hmm. How they lived. So, for example, Gergő or Attila, Halmos Attila, he was born in Budapest, but he moved to a village, and he had animals, pets, and he worked on the ground. Or Gergő, he cannot leave a city life.
Right.
So the natural life is important.
Right.
So and I think when we play this music, it's not just a music material what we use, but we would like to understand the world where this music was working perfectly.
Right. And that's so interesting, because our mutual good friend Sas Yoji often speaks about the fact that this music mm-hmm. does not have to be improved. The music mm-hmm. is perfect, and that's what we should accept. And You know, we can debate about what world music is, and by golly, we have debated about it. And there's many articles written about it, and there's a lot of, you know, interest in that topic. But ultimately, yes, I mean, if people listening, I want, you know, Petty here, who's Petty lives a city life. You could hear he speaks perfect English as well. I mean, this is a man of the 21st century, but in order to, you know, to keep that philosophy alive, I don't know if there's can ever be a band like Tükrös again. I'm not sure it fits into the world anymore in the future, you know. So I'm so happy, you know, I talked about 7 recordings, there are probably more maybe, but I think everybody should be listening to those and really get because they really drill down on various regions or various villages, and that's amazing to me.
Thank you for these questions. That is important. And I live a city life, but I so my goal is to show the students how was the life in 50 years ago or 60 years ago, and how they were thinking, what were the problems of their life.
How do you know, Petty?
Absolutely different. That's just a difference than nowadays.
But how do you know?
Well, I asked the old musicians. So I met them in 1980s when they were 60, 70 or 80 year old people, and they talked about young age. And you know, in Transylvania, because of the close country, the people lived almost the same way like in Hungary in the first half of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yes, yes, yes. Petty, there's an additional aspect to you, and anyone listening to your bio background, it could immediately hear it. There's a, you know, aside from teaching and performing, there's a third part, which is the, I'll call it the business part. So, you know, curating and helping organize the Táncház Találkozó, doing a radio program, writing for Folk Magazine. So there's like that's kind of yet another unique kind of skill set that I think you have. You know, I hate to say it, and maybe we can talk about this a little, is this the opportunities that lie there for you might lie there, because unfortunately a lot of folk musician colleagues might not be as, you know, organized and as savvy on that front as you are. Is that where that's coming from? You know, this extra, I would call it extra work you do. I know it's also probably somewhat financially beneficial to do that work too, but maybe you can talk about all these other activities that you're involved in.
Someone says I'm a workaholic, isn't it?
Yeah, workaholic. Yes.
Yeah. I do just one thing. And I do just one thing from 30 years or 35 years. Much more people get known of this fantastic music. When I teach, my goal is to know this music. When I make a CD, my goal is to know this music. When I have a tour and I go to the States to a Chipke camp, my goal is the same. So when I make a radio program, my goal is to know this music, to achieve as more people as I can.
Right. More eyes and ears. So basically, you can't say no to an opportunity.
I say no sometimes. Say no sometimes because now I'm older than 50. So I have 24 hours a day, as everyone.
Yes.
And I'm lucky because I have a lot of things to do. but I had no time for everything. So sometimes I have to say, no, sorry, unfortunately, I cannot do this because I have no more time. But when someone calls me and asks me, and if I think it's important, to important of my goals, I say, okay, somehow I will do it.
Right. Well, you know, all these things, Utolsó Óra, Új Pátria, Táncász Találkozó, Halmos Béla Fund, Martin György Fund, all that stuff, you know, that is all 100% a part of that. This, you know, your name keeps popping up a lot as someone involved in all these things. You know, I guess I'm silently wondering, you know, who the next you will be. Who's the, when you say no, someone else will need to step up. And I know there are other people that are actively involved as well. So don't want to put this all on you. But I hope you are, you know, preparing future generations and future people to do this work, right? You know?
I have to say, I have no private time. But it's not a bad thing for me because my job, my work is my hobby, is my life. So I have no private time. I would like to spend more time with my family. Yeah. It's sure. But a new work gives energy for me, and that's why I cannot feel that, oh, it's horrible, why can I do this? But I think, okay, that's one more opportunity to achieve much more people and open their eyes. It's a fantastic culture, it's a fantastic music. I know, and I would like you to know too.
Right.
And it gives energy for me.
Good. I know, and I mentioned your bio, you were for many years a part of the orchestra for Budapest, which became Honvéd. This was together with Gazsa and many others. You were the musical director of the ensemble. You know, I wanted to ask you, what's that life like? It might have changed, but you know, doing that as a full-time job, are you going in every day to practices, playing for the dancers, or, you know, are you guys doing separate practices? What's that like? Because on paper, it sounds like a kind of a fun thing to do, but it sounds like it sounds like it's not without challenges. Why don't you talk about what that part of your life was like back then?
Yeah. When I went to Budapest Dance Ensemble, the Kelemen Laci was the musical director, and he invited me to be a musician, to be a professional musician with this group. So I start being a professional musician in 1993, and 9 years later, when Kelemen Laci went to Hungarian Heritage House as a main director, he told Zsura, okay, you should be the musical director, and it was more 10 years for me. Being as a professional musician in a folk dance group, now I say it's not so easy. It's quite comfortable because every day the work the rehearsal starts at 10 and finishes at 2 p.m. So it's just 4 hours. We had to be there practicing with the folk dancers or practicing in a band with the musicians, but 2 p.m. it's over. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of free time. In that time, when I was a musician there, I was a teacher too, and I did a lot of things. So I had no free time, but I could do these things after 2 p.m. until until the night. And And when you have a performance or a concert, there is no rehearsal during the day. So when we went to a theater in the evening, our job started at 4 p.m. and rehearsal on the stage and the program at 7 mm-hmm. and then went home at 10 or 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. So it's not the whole day. And now I think now it's much more difficult because I have to be in the university. I have to be in a Hungarian Heritage House. I have to make a radio program at night or at the weekend. I have to play with Tükrös or with Gáza and the weekend at the weekend or at night. I had to organize a Táncház találkozó, for example. So lot of things. When I was just a professional folk musician, it was quite easier. Mm-hmm. Now I say this. That time, I enjoyed it because it's a very good life. You can play what you love. You can travel what I love. You have success on the stage, clapping people, lots of friends all around the world. So being a professional musician, I think it's a very, very good life. Now I travel less. Now I have less clapping. But I think it's not a problem for me because now I'm a bit older and now I have a different the things to do, not as when I was 30 years,
right?
Year old.
So, are the folks that are still playing for these dance groups now, Gáza,
yep,
for instance?
Yep,
you know, is it still the similar schedule? You know, not non-COVID times, of course. Is it the similar schedule?
I think it's the similar. Yes. Yeah. So they start at 10. And finish at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. when there is no program in the evening, so no concert or no performance.
Right.
But now I think now they have much more performances, not during the COVID, but before this COVID, they had lots of performances. So I think they are busy, mm-hmm. but. You have to do just one thing. So you have one group, you are a member of that group, you know that you have to play this choreography, you have to play this music or dance, this program, and nothing more. Mm-hmm. So it's now I say it's an easier thing. And now when I have to decide and I have to find out Sunday evening, okay, Monday morning, I start here and then I go there. I have 3 hours being here and then running on to another building. And I have conversations there 2 hours and then go on.
Yes.
It's not so easy.
No, I know. Well, and to throw even more chaos into the mix, and if you don't mind, I'll bring up a very personal item, which is, you know, you have 2 daughters, you have 3 daughters now, but you have 2 daughters, you know, Anna and Kata, and their mom. So your first wife had passed away, unfortunately, from an illness during that time, right? Like when you were playing full time at the for Budapest, right?
Yeah, that's right. And why I could do this? Because my first wife was a fantastic woman and she could help be at home, to being everything perfectly at home. When I got home and I was tired, the food was waiting for me and everything was okay at home. So I think if you have no a family like this, you cannot work as hard.
How did you cope After she passed away with the two girls, who I think were what, teenagers at the time.
Yeah, Anna was 11 and Kota was 9.
Well, yeah. So what,
So they were kind.
how did you do deal with that? What kind of help did you receive from the rest of the family?
Well, the grandparents helped, and it was not a long time because she passed away in 2005, and in that time I knew Barbie. She was a beginner dancer of the dance group. We couldn't talk before, but in that year, in 2005, we had a huge tour in America, in the States and Canada. So we spent a lot of time together, and we got known each other. And then next year, we decided, okay, let's try. And 2007, she moved to my flat. So it means she could help me and help to my daughters for cooking, for washing, and for staying with us.
So last year, at the age of 50, you decided, well, let's do this all over again. You have another daughter now with Barbie.
It was my 50-year present.
Yeah, some people get a Ferrari, but you got a Yulchi, you know? Tell what's that like being an older father, so to speak, with all due respect, at this age, and still running around, as you mentioned, with your hectic, crazy schedule. What is what's that
Well,
like?
I enjoy it so much. It's different when you are 25 or 30 years old. The friends are very important to be everything, to be in all Tanzhäuser and everything, to be there. It's important. Certainly, the family was important too, but now I think the family is much more important. So now I don't want to be in all Tanzhäuser during midnight, until midnight or later. I don't want to be in all the festivals and everything. I try to spend more time with my family. Well, for me, the COVID was not so bad because of this. Because of this,
Absolutely.
because in the spring and in the summer we had no festivals, we had no concerts. So I went to the Hagyományokháza, to the Hungarian Heritage House, twice or three times a week. The university, the teaching was online from home, but every weekend, every evening were free. So I was here at home, and I could play with my Yulchi, and we could talk with the Barbie. So it was the good side of this pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. There certainly has been good sides. Are you back teaching in person?
From September, we started the new school year. So now I go to the university twice a week, and the private lessons are absolutely working. The chamber music on a Liszt Academy is there is a limit. It means five people in a room maximum. So I had to separate my groups because we had 12 approximately. So now I have three groups, and I work with the group A, and then the group B, and the group C.
Do you still
but it's personal. Pardon?
practice? Do you practice the contra or the
Oh
braccio?
yeah. Well, yes. yes. When I am not at home, because Yuchi is young and she's sleeping during the day, but in university, often when I finish my lesson and the student is going away, I practice half an hour or more when I have some special concert. For example, I play, I've been playing for 20 years with a professional clarinet player. He's a classical musician, but he plays folk music with Tárogató. Mm-hmm. His name is Kisgyé Laci. And because he is a classical musician, we play would you please help me, Kortás zenemű.
Yeah, contemporary pieces.
Contemporary pieces, yes. Mm-hmm. Composing by Tárogató and contra and mm-hmm. double bass. Mm-hmm. And it's, so there are fixed pieces. So we have to practice it as a classical musician. Mm-hmm. So for example, when we have a concert like this, I have to practice a lot. Mm. But sometimes just thinking, okay, some legényes rhythm, special rhythms, or szökős special rhythms, or if I have a weekend course, for example, thinking, okay, what we will do and how we will do, and I practice them. So it would be better if I could practice more. So I cannot practice 5 hours a day or more. So every week, few times, I try to find some time for practicing.
Right, because the intonation, right, it's so important. Especially three string and the four string, obviously, and the five string, I guess, if you play Nochoyoi stuff. Nochoyoi is four string, but it's flat bridge. So, it's always interesting to me because some folk musicians, some very experienced, very well known folk musicians. Do you practice? They go, no. I mean, I practice when I'm playing, and I'm playing all the time, and I'm thinking a lot. So thinking, because Petty, you know, if you think about a chord structure in your head, maybe a nice way to end a legényes eight bar thing, that it won't take you to practice to execute that when you do it, right? Because you've considered it, it's in your head, therefore it's in your fingers because you've been playing for 35 years. So
I have to practice. I don't remember the name of this worldwide well-known piano player who told, if I miss one day when no practicing, I feel it. If I miss 2 days and no practicing, my families feel it. Mm-hmm. If I miss 3 days, the
audience, the world.
Yeah. So everybody will feel it.
So I've heard
it's like a running. If you run every day, you are in a good condition. If not, you are not in good condition. Yeah. But you know how you can run. Well, it was very strange in the spring when we missed weeks for instrument. So when at home when I was teaching online. Certainly, my instrument was in my hand, but to show it for a minute or 2 minutes, it's absolutely different than playing in a dance house for hours.
Yes.
And and we missed it, dance house music. And when in July, the first time when we went and with Tükrös and played together, it was very strange to play for hours. Mm. It was very sad. And I'm lucky because C.K. Levente mm-hmm. is living very close to my house. Mm-hmm. And he had the same problem. Okay, I would like to play, but it's not possible. And we had two times when we went to their house. And Levente and me, we played a half an hour. So it was very good, but so I have to play and practice more.
Guy, well, we have not yet had that here, Petty. We're still in lockdown mode very much. And we don't know when the next... I know everything through July, at least, through January is probably canceled. So we're still looking to, you know... So I am very curious what that's going to feel like, you know. I did play with a guitarist a few weeks ago at a house party outdoors. It was country music, kind of just jamming. But the feeling of being able to communicate with another musician again after 5-6 months of not doing it is very powerful, you know. It's interesting. Well, we're down to the last few minutes, and I wanted to ask you kind of some more off the wall questions, if you'll humor me. So when you're interested in listening in a car or, you know, whatever, some friends come over, you put some music on, it has to be Hungarian folk music, and it's not Tükrös or any source material. So you have to listen to another Hungarian folk band. Who do you like to put on there? Who do you like to listen to?
Okay, I never listen to Tükrös.
Okay,
sometimes I listen to other folk bands, also the radio programs. Mm-hmm. So when I get a new CD and I make a radio program of that, certainly I have to listen to that. Mostly I listen to original recordings because for me that is the best way. But I don't listen to just folk music. So I often listen to classical music, for example, Baroque area is my favorite. So I have CDs in my car with Baroque CDs, and I made own written CDs with original folk recordings.
Okay, you're very good. You should have gone to law school because you didn't answer the question. So... you have to recommend you. What I'm looking for is recommendations, other you know, revival bands, studio type recordings.
Okay, so I think there are very good young bands now in Hungary, but my bands are the older ones.
Like Üstürü, like hold on. Oh no, I lost you. Hold on, I lost you.
Absolutely the same way. What we think with Tükrös. I love Tükrös CDs. I love Teiko CDs, for example, a few Felvidéki, for example, Lakatos Robiék.
Yes.
They don't play just authentic music, but so I like not just authentic music, but
right.
I wanna play just authentic music, but I can listen to a good piece. Which was from folk music, so I love Bartok pieces too.
Mm-hmm. Petty, the Wi-Fi went out for a little. The first band you mentioned before Ökrös was Üstürü, is that right?
Yep, Üstürü and Ökrös and yes. Tiko.
Yeah, good, great. I agree with you, and we do play a lot of their music on this show, so that's great. What's your favorite play? You've traveled all over the world. What has been your favorite place to travel and why?
We could go to Australia with the crush for 5 times, and that was the best for me, I think.
Nice.
I could we could go to the eastern part, so Sydney and around Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. But 3 years ago, we went to Western Australia to Perth, and different worlds. But I loved both. But mostly, I love Australia. I love Greece, for example. It was a good. I have a good. I had good time in Greece a few times. America is different. America is very strange because there are parts of America or of Canada what I love, and there are parts or cities which is very very strange for me. But I have a lots of friends in America, so that's why if I go to America, I love being there because fantastic people like you and Jonto and other musicians and other dancers are there. So it's a very enjoyable time being there. But if I'm thinking about the nature, I think Australia is the
Yeah,
best for
it
me.
is beautiful. Yeah. Philadelphia is naturally beautiful too. I'm just kidding. Petty, two more questions, if I may. You are now teaching the future generation of folk musicians. Where do you see the Hungarian folk music movement going in let's say 10 or even 20 years, if you can see that far out? Things have changed so much in the last 20, 30 years. What will they look like in 20 or 30 years? What do you think?
Well, I'm so happy because if I'm looking around, I see lots of young musicians and hundreds of young musicians or thousands of young musicians who start playing Hungarian folk music. I think it's absolutely normal that if there are so many people, they don't think on the same way. So someone prefers the authentic traditional music, someone prefers the world music, someone prefers the city village music, not village, gypsy music, sorry. So the Magyar Nóta, for example. It's okay. I think about 10 or 15 years ago started a special thing when a young musician started to love the city. And the world music, and there were much more folk musicians who were authentic music players before, and they start to play world music. For example, you told me Schwoma. For example, Buda Folk Band. When they were a child, they learned the traditional authentic music, and then they start to play world music. What I see now is coming back to the traditions. It means, for example, Szalóki Ági made lots of fantastic CDs together with jazz musicians, and I love those CDs. But now she mostly wants to sing traditional music with traditional musicians. For example, Salamon Somla. He did the Buda Folk Band. Now he says no world music. The traditional authentic music is the best way. And there are much more musicians like this. So now what I see is now it's a trend again to play as authentic as it was as it's possible.
That's amazing.
And I hope, I hope it will continue. So in 20 or 30 or 40 years later, there will be young musicians who wanna learn the authentic style, and it's our fellowship,
responsibility.
Yes, what we show now, it will happen 20 or 30 years later.
Yes,
now young musicians cannot meet Neti Sanyibácsi, but can meet, for example, Ökrös Csabi, unfortunately not, but Csóri Sanyi.
So a student.
Others,
a direct student.
Who can show what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had the first diploma, Kodály wasn't alive,
mm-hmm.
but my teacher was the best student of Kodály.
Mm-hmm.
So for 4 years, I listened to the stories of Kodály because she was a fantastic classical music teacher. She taught about Kodály a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this, it's the same like this. So we can tell the young musicians about those village masters. And if they understand it and if they know why the video recordings are so important and the original sound recordings why are so important, they can teach the young musicians 20 years later the same thing.
Are you guys working on a way to convey to future generations or to people like me who are thousands of miles away to talk about the essence of the recordings and the essence of the people and essence of the struggles Neti Sanyi or Csángáló or Zerkula might have had in their lives, so we understand that when we're in the future looking back at these recordings. Is that being done? I know some of it's being done, but I just want to ask what steps are being taken to preserve that memory.
I think it's not done. If I understand your question, good. I think I have to tell about the village musicians. I have to speak about the first generation folk musicians. I have to explain. So I think I never stop. So we have to speak about these things until we are alive,
mm-hmm.
and then our students have to speak these things. This is the tradition.
This is an oral history. Is that what you're saying? Still, it's still an oral history in general. Meaning, what I'm asking is, can we write a book or do a PowerPoint presentation about this? It sounds like to me you're saying no. It sounds like this is a very personal thing that, you know, to understand the music, it requires not just reading and not just listening and watching, but also some kind of oral history. It's almost a discussion that needs to happen about a particular person or a particular recording or whatever that is, right? To really understand the essence of it, yeah?
Yeah. And I think it's important to show that it's not what I told you. So it's not just a material. It's not just a music material or it's just a culture what we have to keep and we have to do. it's our life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So when I want to have fun, I go to dance house, and I don't go to a disco or a heavy metal concert because it's not my life. It's
right.
Another life.
Right.
My life is this, and I don't. So I do this because. Because I want to do this, and no one said, if you are a clever man, you have to keep the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
it is my life. No,
absolutely.
No other way for me.
Yes. Well, no one does it more or better, in my view, than you, Petty. We're very lucky to not just have you on the show, but also the fact that you speak English. You've been able to convey a lot of your thoughts, and I really appreciate everything you're doing for the Tansaz movement and for us here as well in North America. Before I leave you, I have one very important question that Alex Carpiza from Winnipeg, one of your students, Contra students, wanted me to ask you, which is when you're making a frutch, What is the ideal Sodavis to board ratio, in your opinion?
Okay. My friend Alex. Okay. So I drink fruit. Mostly I don't drink beer. I don't drink palinko. I drink just fruit. And now, my favorite is dry white wine,
mm-hmm.
one part of wine and two parts of soda.
That's
because
it's
we call it hosszú lépés, long step, and thirsty,
yeah.
Again, or so. Sorry, Manawa, I'm a bit tired.
Yeah, no.
So,
it's okay.
This is my favorite white or dry white wine, one mm-hmm. part and soda, two
there
parts.
You go.
And it's very, it's like a soft drink.
Yeah, exactly. And the professor has answered your question. Petty, once again, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your time with us. And thank you to your wife and your baby for letting us have you for this time. Petty, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you very much, Carmen. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. I beg your pardon. By the end, I'm a bit tired, but
no.
I'm so sorry if I
no, it was
I
great.
Do something wrong in English.
No,
I try to explain.
It was great. Thank you.
I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of Tanzhas Talk and myself, Kalman Magyarucsi, and Professor Péter Arendás, have a wonderful time and see you next time.